Another episode of the Silly with the Lilligans is submitted. Matthew Bird.
All right.
Bradley.
Hello.
We have no guests this evening because it's a busy week for the team. After being on the road Saturday, they headed out to Tejas for Friday night's game.
Yeah, they're not on their normal training schedule this week, so.
First game of the season.
Yeah. What are we going to talk about this week?
Yeah.
I know. It was a funny thing, too. It's like when we found out, you know, everybody's on a tight schedule this week, it's like, we got enough things to talk about, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen three preseason games since last week.
I love that spoke. Every time it's like we see more, yeah. You know. And now, after this, we'll have seen regular season.
That's right. FC Denver, we hosted them for two games at home. It was an 8-0 win and a 5-0 win.
Close.
again, hard to say how much you really learn from those games, other than, as we've said before, we might not have fared so well in previous years against that level of competition.
Yeah, you don't know whether that it's their FA Cup final or if they're treating it as a training game too.
Yeah, and I think, you know, once the goals started to flow in, that also changes the game too.
Yeah, towards the end, those last two or three goals, you could see Denver is just kind of...
Yeah, and their keeper actually played pretty well that first game. He, you know, had a lot of saves, so if it wasn't for him, it could have been 12-0. I mean...
Agreed.
But, yeah, we're not planning any parades or engraving any trophies just yet.
But, that said, it was great to see guys clicking together, see the on-field develop. I think more than anything...
You can see the plan working.
You know what we didn't see? Passing back all the time.
Didn't see passing backwards. We didn't see any arguments from the players. A couple of times guys screaming because they were more open than the guy that shot and scored. But you can see the beginnings of Ant's system, and you can see how they're working it towards the middle.
From the outside, no less.
Yeah.
That was one thing, you know, we talked about just in chats and stuff like that. We're using the wings, and that's something we really haven't seen here in St. Louis yet.
Yeah.
I got nothing on the games that you just take them for what they were. They were good times, plenty of goals. The weather was kind of nice.
I think the most positive thing out of those two FC Denver games is we raised $1,000.
That was awesome.
To start off our charity du jour this year, we used the two games. We raffled an FC Dallas or FC Denver practice jersey, which my friend Matt Bird won.
Ticket number 9040.
We raffled off a Christian Valeski game-worn shirt, and Noel won that on Saturday.
It wasn't Malia.
It wasn't Malia.
We did give it to her to find Noel just to mess with her, I think.
We also had sticker sales and just general donations, and $1,000 is a big charity du jour for 2 days. And that money's all going to FC Denver's travel for the Open Cup. Because it's not cheap to travel especially when you're a semi, I guess they're completely amateur team.
And I think as soon as you mention it's going towards anything Open Cup related, people open their wallets because they know what it's about and they know what it means to lower league soccer in this country.
And regardless of what U.S. soccer does and promotes, those of us at the lower leagues definitely appreciate the Open Cup for what it is and for what it should be. And hopefully one day what it could be.
Yeah, I agree.
When it was all said and done, we were driving around with my son Jack, and he asked, you know, well, who's FC Denver? And I explained, you know, they're in the Colorado Premier League, and the important thing is that we raise money for them to get to the U.S. Open Cup. And I kind of explained it, and we talked about FC Christos and their great run and how they ended up getting sponsored by Adidas and just all those, and how much magic just surrounds the Open Cup. And the Denver guys were so appreciative of that money raised. I think, honestly, the way it sounded is that they didn't expect a fraction of what they got.
Yeah, you weren't there on Sunday, but Sunday when we gave him the big wad of cash, and it was a gigantic wad of cash that Sarah counted and Preston counted, and then I think Sarah recounted again to make sure and we chipped in a few extra dollars to round it up to the even thousand, but... He was blown away, and, you know, said quite frankly, you know, they didn't know what to expect, but they thought 200 or something. And when we were conferring about the total, and I said, how much more do we have to throw in to get to an even 1,000? he didn't realize we were talking about their donation. He thought he thought we were talking about the food bill or
something
whatever.
Like that, yeah.
And you know, it was like $50 or whatever. And then we gave it to him. He goes, "It's all for us? The whole $1,000?" Yeah, man. That's, you know, so they were thrilled. And
it was also nice too. We want to thank Kirkwood Station Brewing. They donated a keg,
yep,
where you could buy a red cup and do something with it.
Yep,
and that went quickly on Saturday. We killed that pretty right about half hour before the march in.
Also, thanks to Keith, he sold ponchos the weekend before at the at the rain soaked SIU game, and he donated all of his poncho money to the cause too.
Yeah, that was a nice chunk to get everything started off.
Because people were buying those ponchos.
We did hear a good story about Will eating his nachos in the poncho.
Yeah,
and how that might be something that they have to do every single game, just so the
cheese sauce doesn't get on his. Yeah, shirt.
Right. It just runs right off.
Yes, waterproof and nacho cheese proof. Then let's talk a little bit more about this past weekend. The game that, of all the preseason games, the one that mattered the most, we're facing the former, or the current, USL champion, Louisville City.
Reigning. We'll just say
reigning. Louisville City FC. Made a three-hour drive or so to Evansville. Matt Bird took care of us driving that whole way.
Thank you, Matt.
I would say there were probably 50 Lulligans. And
it was a good turnout.
Yeah.
It really was.
35, 40 Coopers.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
And then quite a few people from Evansville just kind of came out and enjoyed the game.
And there were other fans that don't consider themselves Lulligans that were there.
Yeah.
That we made sure to invite them over, and they became kind of a part of the group as well. That was nice.
It was my birthday, so to be honest, I don't remember much from the game. I didn't go full Brad drunk, but towards the end I was there.
Yeah.
No, you were happy Brad drunk.
Yeah.
You were pretty happy.
But game ended 1-1. I did see the first goal, and it was
see, just I had my back turned because I was talking to somebody about whatever play had happened just before it. I think there was
It was a flub. It was kind of a back pass.
It was comedy gold.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Yeah.
We did not create the goal.
But
we received that goal.
But I said this to Matt Bird, and I stand by it. Last year, we didn't get those kind of breaks. That there's a lot of times that you create your own luck, that, you know, the build up and stuff like that.
It was so early in the game, it was just a failure.
Yeah, it was.
The pitch was a disgrace. The pitch was a disgrace. I mean, it's hard to get grass to grow in February, March at the best of times. I mean, the grass was very uneven, and he went to kick it out. He took a bobble. It went through his legs. It went in the corner of the goal, and I laughed my head off. And that's all there was to it.
Yeah, I was like, I forget who I was standing next to, but they said, "Who scored it?" And I said, "They did." It's like, because it was just sloppy.
But again, the way we played, I do believe that there is some truth to the making your own luck. Things happen when you have the ball rolling.
The most important thing is we didn't just fold after that. We hung with Louisville.
Oh, absolutely.
They scored a good goal to get the equalizer, but it was a tough game.
It was a tough game. It was a tight game. It was a strange game because I thought even though we scored in the first half, they were better in the first half.
Yeah, I think so.
But I think we were better in the second half, honestly.
I couldn't tell you.
But they scored in the second half.
Right, right.
You know, I thought they had more chances, but I thought we had better chances. You know, it was a strange game.
But I think a 1-1 draw going into the regular season. Against the reigning champs. And quite frankly, one of the best teams the past 3 years in USL.
Without a doubt.
I mean, you know, they're our rival, but in name only, they've been
dominant.
Yeah, one of the best teams in the league. So I'm good with a 1-1 draw going into the regular season.
Well, I thought we played all right. I mean, but I also think, here's the thing, right? I came away from that game thinking, we've got room to improve. I thought Louisville played pretty much lights out.
Yeah.
Well, and the one thing that we did, you know, we've talked about it leading up to it, is that these guys that had impressed us so far in preseason, like Austin Martz, like, Calistri, you know, these guys that we had been, okay, these guys are really something special. We actually saw them against top flight quality in this league, and they kept up. I mean, you know, we laughed about it. You know, how's Martz going to be doing running out there against an aged defender or a midfielder on their side? And his wheels get, I mean,
it's easy to see why Martz was brought with up here from Orlando.
Yes, there's no question.
Yeah, and it's also easy to see why maybe Orlando City B didn't value him, because he might not, he's not big, he's not imposing. He may not make it to the next level, or if he does, he'll be a journeyman that, that gets there on work and speed, long-term effort. Yeah, hustle. He's not like your blue chip kind of prospect. Yeah. So a two team will
which is bizarre because Lionel Messi's 5'3".
Well, no, I know.
Gerd Müller was 5'2".
But a two team will let those guys go, yeah, and they can find a lot of success.
And that's part of it too, is that MLS is built on size and strength, not necessarily skill and speed. It's just a much more physical league.
But, so, yeah, if Lionel Messi grew up in the United States, they wouldn't let him play.
He'd be playing for Bethlehem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, probably. That's exactly right. Well,
like, no, really. I mean, Javenko comes over and he can do the business over here. But I mean, seriously, when they're going around picking teams, you know, in grade school, they want the biggest, tallest, fastest, you know, all that. And I have no doubts we're not identifying some talented young players.
That's a whole nother story, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
but I don't want to get into that today. But
that's exactly the Austin Mart story. Yeah. You know, it's I'm sure he's been overlooked because of his size, because of those factors. But yet we saw...
I forget what college he went to. Georgetown.
Yeah. But we saw on Saturday that, you know, that doesn't matter, that if you...
Oh, he can play in this league without a doubt.
And if you get him the ball, he's going to make an opportunity. When we were going left to right, he had a... There was a ball in our side of the field in the corner that he blew past two guys to get and crossed, and unfortunately they cleared it out, bad location. But it was like, okay, that's the guy that we've been watching, and he can do it at this level.
There's nothing scares a defender more than a guy running at you with speed with the ball at his feet.
Yeah.
There's nothing that scares a defender
more. And a guy who's got enough touch to keep it on his feet.
Oh, yeah, with technical ability, absolutely.
Yeah.
This isn't the Austin Mart show. There's a lot of guys on this team who are like that, Corey Herzog. He's the real deal.
Without a doubt.
You know, Kalistri, you know, you mentioned him. I like us with him on the field.
Without a doubt. I thought we were a better team in the second half, mainly because of him.
Yeah. I mean, our defense in the back, I like them all. I wish we had a little more.
Yeah.
And I don't know, are you convinced we're going three in the back as our main formation?
It looks that way. I mean, he's played it in every preseason game thus far. But they've looked pretty solid.
Well, and that's the thing is that when you have Tony Walls playing in front of those three,
that's true.
He can drop back in.
He can drop back in, and he cuts the angles down well.
Been really impressed with Baden.
Yes,
he's a big boy, strong.
Yeah,
vocal.
I was wondering how the interplay was going to be with somebody like Sam. That they're kind of similar in that respect, but it seems to be a good partnership.
And Sean is fitting back there.
Oh, there's no question. I mean,
the only thing I'm wondering is, I think if we do go four in the back, I think that gives Aiden the green light back there. I think Aiden's probably been the best outside defender.
Probably. Obviously, I think the whole college thing comes into play. And
yeah, I'm not sure when he leaves. I guess late August. I don't know.
I got to imagine. They probably start in June.
But I bet there'll be some playing time for him.
I'd hope so. But again, he can do it.
Yeah. Well, and we'll get more to the lineup once we get a little farther on. A couple other news and notes. Channel 11 today was announced. They're going 10 of the away games. Smart, they are not doing any of the MLS 2 games. Because that just looks garbage on TV.
I was glad to see that. That was a smart play.
Yeah. But 10 away games, that's good. Will allow some people to stumble into the game.
If you are going to watch on YouTube, if you are going to Kirkwood Station or your mate's house or whatever to watch the game, DVR it at home anyway.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, let's try to bump those 11 ratings as much as we can. But it also makes it nicer for watch parties and things that you don't have to find a Chromecast. You don't have to make sure the bartender can find the stream. I mean, just flip it on channel 11 and you're good to go.
Well, and not only that, but it does give us that accessibility to more homes in the area. If it is on a Fox Sports Midwest, maybe Cord Cutters don't have that. You know, I'm
by no means painting all senior citizens in this manner, but my mom, if I told her something was on YouTube,
forget it.
No way in hell she's going to find it.
I agree.
But if I tell her it's on Channel 11, Oh, she can watch that.
Well, and, yeah. and there's a good chance that somebody like my dad, who, you know, we grew up playing soccer, you know, on a Saturday afternoon, if, you know, he's grilling and he's flipping through the channels to have something on in the background and it's on, he's going to keep it on.
Yeah.
You're going to have a lot of those kind of...
Or if you're at his house for a barbecue, it's easy for you to flip it on channel 11 on his TV if he doesn't have a Roku or an Apple or
something. Right, exactly.
So, yeah, I think overall it's a good deal.
The accessibility is fantastic.
I liked last year that they showed some home games to let people know what the atmosphere was like in St. Louis.
Are they still doing that?
No, they're all the away games this year.
Okay.
But I think, you know, that's good. The people who know about this team are at the games.
They should be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is that, you know, even with that, when you see the away games, you know, unfortunately, we won't have a Cincy or a Louisville or something where they're...
Sacramento will be a good
crowd. Sacramento will be a good one. There's an, I just, Phoenix will be a good one.
Yeah.
You know, where they'll have decent crowds. There'll be good television. You know, the only problem is those are going to be the later start times with the time zones.
Yeah.
The Phoenix game is in late September, so we'll have already made the playoffs by then. So it'll be a dead rubber.
But good news for the team. There will be a local TV deal.
That's awesome. I'm so excited.
Other new things that came out this week, new jerseys. St. Louis FC released their home jersey. It's a nice, pretty green.
They're so good.
I do like it. I do like it. I got to be honest.
It is a template. It's not, you know, a custom kit like some teams are getting.
But it's not like the old Nike Total 90 template days where everybody had the same exact one.
It's got a little something to it.
Our away is not a template. I mean, our first home game, our first home shirt wasn't a template. I mean, we've had a mix of both.
Well, and there is still a rumor we're going to get a third kit that may be a custom. So.
Yeah.
We'll see.
And again, I love the sublimation on the green jersey. So it's not just solid color. There's some depth to it. It gives it a little bit nicer look. It
the little fake the button at the top.
Yeah.
I like.
Yeah.
And then they also released the Mission Taco training kit.
Looks amazing.
Yeah. I really like the new colorful Mission Taco logo. I know Junior Bird got one. He was wearing it the other day.
He was quite proud of it, showing it off to everybody.
Him and Miss Sarah matched because Sarah was wearing hers. So I might buy one. I haven't gotten one of the Mission Taco kits before, but I might get this one.
I got the first one, the white one, because I really liked it. I'm not big on white jerseys. I say that in both my jerseys are white. Yeah. But
by the way, I'm buying you the Mission Taco shirt, so don't buy one.
No, that's not happening.
Yeah, just...
Shut up.
Just put it on my chat tab.
Yeah.
I just paid you back for concert tickets, so now I need to run up another bill.
Yeah, we'll worry about it later. But no, I mean, I think that's... But again, I love the fact that we have these good-looking options, that people want the training kit, that people want the regular kit.
You know, well, and Mission Taco's an involved sponsor. I mean, they gave away some of the old shirts. You know, they're always, you know, involved with what we're doing.
Did they give them away? I didn't hear anybody won.
Yeah, a couple people won. A couple Lilligans won one. But that's cool. You know, they want to be involved. And
one, it's great advertising.
I mean, and Sean Reynolds was there today. He was in charge of the club Instagram.
I saw a whole bunch of the team was there having tacos.
Yeah. So
I was kind of jealous, though, because I see they put out this long stretch of tacos. I was like, damn, that sounds good.
Yeah, we should get more of those tacos.
Yeah, we should.
Also, New Jersey's, we released a new jersey.
Yeah, we did.
You might have seen them at a couple of games now. Jimmy Blood and me designed it.
You came up with the general idea.
Jimmy made it work.
But that's awesome. Jimmy has done amazing work. He also...
So much stuff.
One thing worth mentioning, too, is that he did bring the Lilligan on Tour banners that he had made.
Yep.
We've got four of them. So if you are traveling, make sure you grab one from us. So you can hang
take pictures and...
Yeah, Jim Bellinger grabbed one for his trip. And, you know, we've got, like I said, we've got several of them. Make sure we, you know, get them checked out and get people out in public with them when they go on these trips. They're nice and they're thinner material, so it's easy to shove in your travel bag. It's not going to take up the space of, you know, a winter coat or anything.
And if you are going away and if you are taking one, my advice is to check a YouTube stream of the place you're going to and find the cross camera.
Get on the right side of the field.
Get on the right side so we can see you. Because it always gives me a buzz when I see our flag or our logo or our scarves or our supporters on the camera.
And Jimmy designed it in such a way that the skull's a huge element, so you'll be able to see it clearly.
It stands out. Yeah. It stands out. Again, it looks fantastic. Good job.
But I wasn't done with our jersey talk
yet. I know. I had to interrupt. Sorry.
The new jerseys are available in toddler sizes all the way up to Lilligan sizes. And by that, I mean even bigger than normal Lilligan sizes. They're at ultras.com. Just go on there and click on soccer jerseys. And usually, if you haven't already, if you sign up for their email newsletter or something like that, you can get a 10% or 15% off discount.
Yeah, and they've got plenty of other stuff. They've got the older Lilligan jerseys on there. They've got some great shirts as well.
They've got an American Outlaws St. Louis. They've got St. Louis Stars from the NASL days.
I got one of those.
I see they added a St. Louis Stars practice jersey.
Oh, did they?
Which is just kind of like a bigger logo.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah, there's cool jerseys there, so go check them out.
Yeah, like I said, I really like this new jersey. I think this one's probably gotten the most compliments of any of them since we started these.
Yeah, I think so.
I think the hoops one that you're wearing right now, in fact, that got a lot of attention because that was our first one.
Yeah.
And the sash one was great because nobody was doing a sash. But this one, everybody's like, that is sharp. I want one of those. They look amazing.
Yep. And it's blue this year instead of green. So if you've already got one of the previous years that were green and you're tired of green, you can get a blue one.
There you go.
Also new things, new scarves. The new scarves from Global Scarves have arrived.
They're in my garage upstairs.
And we started handing them out at the game in Evansville, and we will have them at the watch party. This is silly scarves. We may wait until the game, first game, to do those, just because we can only fit so many in the back of a car.
Yep. How much are their scarves, Brad?
Those are $20.
There you
go. If you've already pre-ordered it, you can pick it up. Just give us your name at the table. And if not, you can buy one for $20. You can buy several. And the bonus is, if you join us at the watch party on Friday and get your scarf, then you can walk right up to the bar and get a four-pack to go for $1 off, because they honor any Lilligan or St. Louis FC merchandise.
There you go. That's awesome.
So there you go.
And they still have the PWICB shirts there, too, I saw.
Yes, so they do.
Those are also excellent.
In the news today, in addition to the TV deal, RFT named us the number 11 best way to meet new people in St. Louis this summer.
Not just the team.
No, us.
Us.
Yeah. No, it wasn't about the team at all. It was about us. But if you want to meet us, you have to come to a St. Louis FC game, because that's where we'll be.
That was awesome to read this morning. They've done great stuff with us before.
We were 30 things to do in St. Louis and things like that.
But, you know, they recognize that, you know, we're open and we include everybody. And, you know, if you are new. Yeah. Our new Lilligan's team is around to help you adjust and get you introduced and stuff. So don't be if you are picking this up based on that, go ahead, come around, say hi, find somebody wearing a name badge and say hey.
And I did, since the AGM info went up last week on the pod, I updated our membership page and put that out there today. Just three rules: show up, make noise, have fun.
They're good rules.
No dues, no sacrificing your firstborn.
I don't know, that's tempting sometimes.
And I did add a fourth rule: don't be a dick. That's kind of
that's half of them.
I was going to say.
Now, once you're one of us, you can be a dick, but don't be a dick on the first day, or because we actually like a lot of people who are dicks. But you know, you have to become one of us before you start acting dickish.
Then
yeah,
all bets are off.
Then you've got like the grandfather pass. Look, I'm already here. I can be as big a dick as I want.
That explains a lot of behaviors.
Yep.
Sorry. A lot of behaviors.
Sorry about that.
We wouldn't expect anything but from you.
News and notes from around the league in St. Louis FC past. Just want to say El Paso will be joining USL in 2019. So another Texas team. We need more of those.
I don't imagine they'll be snuck off into the West.
I don't know. It depends on how they break up this.
Yeah.
Central.
Well, and it depends on what Nashville does, and
yeah, there's other factors at play. So we will see. But El Paso, welcome to the league.
Yeah, no, it's just somewhere else. You know, somewhere else that we'll be able to watch in the Central time zone.
Another place that NASL could have looked at.
Another place where Lilligans can get drunk and deported from Mexico. Yeah.
Don't turn left, Bird.
Y'all got your passports. Let's go. Yeah.
Well, it's like sometimes when you're downtown St. Louis, if you make a wrong turn, you're in Illinois.
Yeah.
Because there's no way to get off that bridge once you're on. I can imagine a few random people end up in Mexico.
Oh, but, you know, it's worth it just for the cheap cigarettes and cheap liquor at duty free.
There you go. And I can get insulin at half price down there.
There you go.
I'm going on purpose. What's that cooler for? Beer? No, insulin. former players got a little bit of news this week or last couple weeks. Sebastian Dalgaard, a lot of us wondering about him. Looks like he's going back to Denmark to play for Middelfart.
Best name.
Middelfart. Musa is leaving SKC family and going to Phoenix.
Yeah, I can like him again.
Except we'll be playing him.
Well, you know.
But
always, I mean,
we played him last year. So
yeah.
It's what it is.
Yeah, like I like James.
Maybe he'll get a red card against us.
Yeah, or a collection of yellows before he plays us.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that option's always there.
There's another ex-player of ours that I can guarantee that'll happen to.
Who are we talking about?
Well, Mirko.
Oh, well, yeah.
He'll be suspended when he plays. I can guarantee it.
Love you, Mirko, but yeah, I don't look forward to those crunching tackles in the midfield.
No, not at all.
He's got like a year and a half worth.
I don't know. If you're going to tackle Tony Walls or Wall Fall, you bet you best have your eyes in the back of your head because he's going to get paid back.
That's true. That's true. Tony Walls quietly one of the most intimidating players on our team.
Oh, he is a big boy.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but the stare.
And he's intense. Yeah. He is intense. I mean, he takes
this. That's what I mean. He's intense.
Very.
This is his job.
Yeah.
And he will mess you up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's bigger than you think he is. When I was standing next to him on the stage at the AGM.
And he thought you insulted him?
I was looking at one guy and he was standing in front of me. It's a long story. But he's a big guy, broad.
Like his shoulders are wide, and his waist is tiny. And
I didn't know he was that.
I didn't
thick.
You see him in the jersey, and they're playing, and their shoulders are turned, or you know, they're. You don't realize it, and then you see him. You shake his hand, and
he's filled out nicely.
Yeah, yeah. He is a broad dude. Between if you have him in front of Sam, Sam who's put on some muscle.
Yeah,
that was the other thing I didn't realize until the AGM talking to him. But Sam put on some muscle in the past since he left here.
Yeah.
So you got those two guys up the middle. That is a hard midfield to try to make a move.
And Sean's
through.
A big guy too.
Yeah. No, we are not. We are
Ball
not.
Ball falls tall.
Yeah.
But I always said that. I mean, our first year when I saw Rambo and Brian Sisulka walk out and
we were very
next to
small.
Matt Fondi
in
the tunnel, I'm like, we are a short team. Yeah. And I think we paid for that. And I think it's been maybe a subconscious thing is how big are you?
Yeah. But they still have the speed and the ability to go with it. They're not just
bruisers. Oh, no, they're not lumberjacks, no.
Yeah. Yeah, they actually have the abilities to keep up and
absolutely.
Be slow out there. There's a massive difference. Pun intended.
Tyler David, somebody we all really liked. He's going to Finland. Doesn't have anything sorted just yet, but he's got trials, right? He's got trials with a couple different teams lined up. So hopefully that'll work for him. I think going overseas and testing himself, I think that's probably a good move for Tyler at this point.
I think he can be successful there, too.
Yeah.
I think he can make a name.
And Tyler's the kind of guy that can get a couple years in Europe and then come back and bring that experience and that knowledge with him and either get on at MLS or become a force in USL because he was almost there.
But if he does well in Finland, then
he can stay there and make more money.
If he does well in Finland, there's going to be scouts from Norway, Sweden, Denmark looking at him. And then, you know, if he does well there, there's going to be scouts from Belgium, Holland, Germany, Switzerland looking at him. I mean, there's pathways there open to him.
Yeah. I also wanted to mention somebody noticed it today when Sean posted his video at Instagram at Mission Taco. Seth was having lunch with the guys. There's nothing there that we know of. I mean, he's done some training with them just to get fit. He's still looking for a club, but I wouldn't expect him to imminently sign with St. Louis FC.
Can he play defense?
Yeah. That's the thing I said on Twitter. There's not a lot of room for him right now. Yeah. We are stacked with offensive players and attacking players, and I'm worried right now getting them all time and keeping them all happy. You know, if we do need somebody, I think it's in the back.
Oh, there's no question. And the thing is, too,
if we play three at the back, we actually have three defensive subs. We've got Culbertson, if they can play back there. We've got Aiden, and we've got Ledbetter. I mean,
Jack Maher.
But, you know, Jack, Aiden are going to be hither and gone.
Right.
You know, whether it's a college or the U.S. national team stuff.
There are still a few trialists, you know.
He made air quotes there.
And I forgot Kavita.
Kavita's back there.
So, I mean, there is cover. But I also think they're looking at Culbertson as the possibility of him playing on the left going forward. So, I mean,
I'm not the only one that every time somebody says Kavita thinks of Kavita Smith.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Every time.
If she doesn't get a
Kavita jersey,
there's something wrong with this world.
Yeah. It's like every time somebody says it, I'm like, oh, Kavita Fanouf. Yeah.
And it, and the longer it goes in the season, the more tempted I'm going to be just to buy her a shirt because it's not right.
I was talking about ex-players. Irvin Harris scored after 20 seconds last night.
There you go. Jesus.
20 seconds.
Did they end the game with a full complement of humans?
No, but they did win 3-2. His team's actually doing well. I try and follow our ex-players, see what they're doing.
Yeah.
And his team's second in the El Salvadorian league right now.
Good for them.
Eric Cabalceta has gone to a team called Carmelita in Costa Rica. Not going so well for them. I think they've drawn one and lost four of the last five.
Oof.
But he's got a team. He's playing.
Yeah,
so.
No.
If anybody deserves some playing time, it's him.
I agree.
And there's one other player I wanted to mention, and he goes into the future category. Our friend Wyatt Erber. He was, you know, with his team over there in Feyenoord doing some training, and he was officially invited back to train with Feyenoord.
That's amazing.
That is huge.
That's amazing.
And we know Noel, and we know Wyatt, and they're great people. But big news for a young kid to get invited to a club as big and as storied as Feyenoord.
Huge club.
Yeah.
Well, that team making that trip over there alone was a big deal.
Good for the whole team, but they saw enough in Wyatt to say, we want you to come back.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That is massive.
Man. Yeah.
Well, and then I think I saw Noel said they played the Mizzou women's team and held their own. They didn't, you know, obviously it's...
These are
kids versus women.
What? 15, 14,
age something range? Like that. And I think it was like 5-3 or so. I mean, it was, you know, the women obviously won, but it was, they managed. And that's impressive. I mean, that's, you know, a good college program.
Wyatt is also on the team with his friends that every year seems to win a tournament.
Wearing
the Luligan jersey. So we're very proud of him. And any payment, we should get, what, 20% of that?
I believe so. I believe we do hold rights.
So, Gallagher, give us a call.
No, he plays for the Luligans, the 3v3. That's
us. Well, yeah, but they'll have to contact Gallagher. He's on loan to Gallagher from us.
Yes, this is true. So this is true. It has to go through.
We'll have to get a forwarded payment.
Yeah.
Let's do some listener questions, and I want you guys to put on your thinking caps because some of these may take some nuance.
All right.
Jim Sullivan, what's most worrisome to you heading into this season? What are you most fearful of or dreading?
You know what? It's not what I'm dreading, but I'm most fearful of. We've got four main strikers, right? We've got Corey, Christian, Kyle, and Albert. And maybe Dacres, you know, cutting in off the wing. What I'm worried about is that we know individually that they're all right. We know individually they all know where the net is. We all know they can score. I'm worried that it takes us a long time to find two main guys that have got instant chemistry.
Well, and it's got to be, so at this point in my mind, it's got to be somebody playing with Corey. Because Herzog's that guy you brought in for a reason, because he's a known entity that's a finisher.
You know.
So it's a matter of who's that number two. I feel he's got that number one cemented. Who's that number two?
And I don't care who it is. I don't mind if it's Christian. I don't mind if it's Kyle. I don't mind if it's Dequa. I don't mind if it's Kadeem, but we need to hit the ground running. We need scoring some goals. So we need instant two guys, chemistry, go.
Right now, who do you think your number two is?
Not sure. Honestly, I am not sure.
It's hard.
And my fear, worry, whatever piggybacks off of that is once you establish those two, making sure everyone else finds a role that they're satisfied with. And, you know, I look at a guy like Kadeem who was a big part of Louisville's success, and then went to Cincinnati. And Cincinnati, they don't manage players well.
I don't think so either.
And Kadeem kind of got...
Considering they have like 70.
Well, Kadeem kind of got on the bubble, you know, where he wasn't satisfied with the time he was getting and the role he was playing. Kadeem's a guy I want to come back here and regain that. So I want him to know what his role is.
But he should.
I want everybody to know what their role is.
Kadeem should be coming in here with a chip on his shoulder.
Oh no, I'm not saying anything like he's not. I'm just saying I want it clearly defined so these guys know. You know, this is what's expected of you. And Ant has said this. This is, you know, his goal. So once we get the lineup kind of lined out, I want everybody to work with it and be happy.
You know, I think Deke was going to be a kid that comes off the bench.
I think so.
Chaos theory, last 30 minutes, see what you can do.
He can make things happen.
But let's say Kyle and Valesky have two niggling injuries in training tomorrow.
Right.
And Deke gets the start Friday. If he scores two goals, you can't keep him out.
Yeah.
And, you know, if he keeps scoring, you can't keep him out.
Well, that was Seth last year, you know. Uh-huh. We all thought Seth was a late to the game kind of guy, but he kept proving that he deserved to be in the lineup. So, I'm worried about defense just because my nature.
Well, so I'll do the last one. I'm a little concerned about goalie right now.
Yeah,
that Gomez I know is coming back soon. I know he's probably close to getting back to out of the.
But there's no question he's our number one.
He is. Finlayson, he's looked okay. He hasn't. I think that's the hard part being here in St. Louis is that we've always had two good goalies.
Yeah,
like it's all 3 years, two good goalies. Finlayson hasn't shown me that he is that. You know,
we thought we had two good goalies.
Well, but I think Finlayson, yeah, he's still a question mark on my page.
I think, and that's a little bit of a concern, and especially if he doesn't come out of the gate strong, then we're waiting for Gomez to come back. You know, I don't want that question mark.
And that's something that can be helped by the rest of the team.
Yes.
If the rest of the team is pushing forward and scoring,
the best defense is offense,
and the back line is as strong as we know they can be. That'll take some pressure off of him.
I mean, I got to be honest. The Louisville equalizer is on him. He spilled a shot, and it was a rebound.
He got the first shot, but gave up the rebound. Right.
Saying that, he'll learn from that.
Oh yeah, I'm not
I'm not panicked
about him back there, but he's not. He's clearly below Gomez.
It can go both ways with Jake. I think he needs to grow into this league. He's someone like Ryan Howe. He's going to need to grow into this league. I mean, I think this is his first pro contract, right?
No, he was with Orlando B last year.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Did he start for them?
I don't believe he was a starter, no.
Okay.
I don't know. I really don't know.
But I do think he can grow into this league. He can be Ryan Howe. He can be...
Well, and let's be honest, too. You've got one of the best goalie coaches in the league.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a great support system. And Gomez is probably a great training partner. You know, so
Gomez will definitely be in his ear, giving him all the info he can give him.
Yeah. So it's not a question of ability.
And we've seen some athleticism out there. I mean, I hate that word athleticism, but
for a goalie,
he's a shot stopper. He can make the instinct saves, but you know,
it's just a refining of the technique of getting that game day
reps.
I also think being a goalkeeper is such a confidence thing.
Oh, absolutely. We saw that last year.
Yeah. You know, if you make 3-4 class saves in a row,
you're on top of the world.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can save anything.
Hell, even just one. All you have to do is get that one punch out. That just changes the game. So, yeah. But, again, it's more of just the we expected Gomez as the number one. You know, we don't know what we're getting, the unproven number two. That's my real concern, but it's not a bad concern because of the things you guys mentioned.
Ryan Grass wants to know, best guess, who gets the most goals this year? Who's our golden boot for the team?
It's got to be Herzog. I don't see it being anybody else. The guy is proven. The guy knows it. We've seen it in every preseason game. The dude pounces on rebounds. He pounces on every opportunity and is not afraid to shoot. He'll shoot from anywhere and put it on.
I don't care who it is as long as it's double figures.
That'd be nice, yeah.
I don't care if it's Sam Fink.
Yeah.
Honestly,
15 headers off corners a season.
I think it's a good chance that we have two or three guys with double digits.
I'll be all right with that.
My instinct is Corey Herzog too, but I will throw out a Valesky. I don't think we got near what we could have out of Christian last year because of what was around him.
He didn't get any service.
And I think this year, if he's up there with a strike partner, and I don't know if it's going to be him and Herzog, but if it is, I think we've got the people that can get him the ball and then a partner that can also take shots that he could benefit from. I think Herzog
for some reason I see him and Greg partnering really well.
We're flipping a coin. I mean, really, it could be any of them.
Yeah, because, again, we
could be Austin Martz.
No, we really could.
Yeah.
But there's no question in my mind.
Calistri, I'm real high on Calistri. Yeah. He had a great year last year down in Tulsa.
I'm positive Martz will lead us in assists. I'm almost I'd almost put $100 on
Wall Fall, man. Wall Fall can put that ball.
Yeah, that's the thing. We have options this year.
All right. Joe Brandon, best 11 right now.
Shit. Because of the front. The front is the...
We kind of did it last podcast, what we were looking at.
I think you're starting three from Saturday with the goalie. So right now it's Fennelson, Bard, and Fink. Reynolds, I like middle five of Martz, Fall, Walls, Kalistri. I thought we were a better team in the second half when Kalistri was on the field. And then in the left, I like Culbertson. I've not seen enough from Dakers yet to put him on the wing. And then up top, I'll go Corey and Valesky or Corey and Greg. Either of those two.
I can't argue, mostly because, well, that's been the other hard part, too, is that you don't know who the guys are without numbers during these training, the preseason games. So it's been hard. There's been
definitely,
a lot of...
Yeah, definitely true.
I mean, I didn't think Herzog played on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I wrote him down on the starting 11. No. I mean, I just... But I thought our strikers didn't get into the game quickly enough on Saturday for me. I was kind of disappointed in that. I haven't seen enough from Dakers, but he had that one off the bar.
Yeah.
So I mean,
there's depth and there's opportunity for so many guys to make a name, to make to make their place.
And the other thing is, we don't know Ant. We don't know how he manages a game. We don't know if he's a guy who always bring somebody in at the 60th minute. We don't know. You know what I mean? Like, somebody's going to be that guy for him. You know what I mean? Whoever it is. And it might be one of the guys that we think's an instant starter. Ant may see him coming on late to make a difference in the game.
Or flip side is that if he's, you know, we've got these four possibilities up front. If he's not seeing something from one of those guys, they're off at the 45th. Yeah.
Or he may have a rotation policy where he wants fresh legs in and he, you know, he'll evaluate in training every week. So if this guy has a great training, he's the starter.
We don't know if he'll get two goals ahead and then just shut the game down or if he'll go for more goals.
We still have a lot to learn about our head coach.
Mm-hmm. And the system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dan Dawson wanted to say we only faced one pro team in preseason. Are we ready? And he'd like us to play better competition in the preseason. He acknowledged Louisville also only played one pro team.
I personally don't care. I think I do like that we ended against Louisville. I think that was important because that is a great test to see how you're doing coming into it. The lead up, I don't know. I don't, especially with this many new guys coming together. You know, I think maybe next year if we have a lot of the same roster together, if we bring back 10 guys next year, maybe we pick up a another pro team or, you know, somebody of a higher caliber.
We played five pro teams last preseason. It does absolutely no good whatsoever.
That's the other part, too. No, it is. I don't know if it really matters.
Well, no, I think it would be fun to be in one of those preseason tournaments like the Carolina Challenge or the FC Tucson Jamboree or whatever they have down there. But that's just fun.
Yeah.
It really doesn't matter what I want. It's what Ant wants.
It's a shame. It's a shame that we can't have something like that here because of the weather.
Well, or just be involved in it where we could see some streaming games preseason or make a big trip down there to see a bunch of pro teams play. But it's really about what Ant and Jeremy need to see out there. And, I mean, Ant got his say in what we did preseason. That must be what he wanted to do. So as much as I would like to see some, you know, other top-quality teams, if this is what Ant needed to get his team ready, and I guess we'll find out here soon if it worked or not.
I get the feeling some of those competitions, like in Charleston or Tucson, seem to be a bit circusy.
Yeah.
I mean, what we did seemed to have been all business.
I do think you're right. I think the proximity of the opponents and how we did things gets very much into a our house, our team kind of mentality. Mm-hmm. I do think the players benefited from having the preseason games here in the stadium.
I think so, too.
They got to see their stadium. They got to see us. They got to see the facilities, you know, on game day. They got a good idea of what, you know, I think that preparation for coming into the season is going to be more important than we think.
And they were here and they met us. Like, they went to preseason down in Florida and they played a lot more games down in Florida last year. They were down there for a longer time. We didn't get to see the players. We didn't get to see the team or meet them. You know, in the second half of the game against SIUE, we all went in the grill and we were talking to the players. We got to, you know, was meeting them, getting to know them, they're getting to know us, and I think there's already a lot more camaraderie between us and the players than there ever was last year.
It's not saying much, but
no, yeah. but
I agree, and I do think that we do have more of the guys that know how that works. That we do have a Sean Reynolds who's been there with Louisville, who knows how it works. We have Sam Fink, we have Austin Martz, who's happy to be playing in front of guys, you know, unlike what he's done before. So he might be a little bit more enthusiastic about that stuff. We, you know, we have Tony and Christian who know what we're about, that can help. I don't want to say bridge that gap, but bridge, you know. I do think those things do matter. I really do. I'm not trying to overvalue our input because we're just a bunch of idiots. But I think when they see, you and standing there and giving them high fives when they're walking by on Saturday, I think that matters. I do. I think they see, hey, these guys made the trip. That kid is here. Those things matter.
It makes me. I mean, I love that. Obviously, he's my kid, and I love that, and I love that he's getting into it. But
and he smelled Brad's farts.
But I mean, he stood there at the top of the steps, and he's shouting Albert, Albert, and Deke turns and gives him a big thumbs up and a smile, and I love that.
Yeah,
I mean, that's almost worth more to me than the results.
Well, and I just think, you know, you're talking about that, and it made me think of. Gottman posted a picture today of
Drake and Dixon.
And
Wilinho and
Albert.
Yeah. I mean, you can't tell me that when Dixon's warming up and sees Drake on the sidelines, that doesn't say, I want to play for him. Yeah. I want, you know.
That's my fan. I got a fan.
He's got my jersey on. Mm-hmm. I want him to be proud of me. When Ewan yells Albert, or when, you know, Wilinho gives him high five.
Talks to him about Animaniacs.
I mean, it's little things, but. There's a connection there, and there's a, I got to give it my all because Drake's watching, or I got to give it my all because, you know.
Yeah.
It becomes home.
Yeah.
It's home.
Yeah.
And I do think that matters. And the ladies doing things with the wives, and, you know, them coming to the AGM, that seeing these people that are, you know, that we're giving up our time and our money to be there for them. I do think those things matter.
I agree.
It's a foundation.
Michael Decker wanted to know, now that Dane Kelly's out, in Reno, does it make it easier in the West? And do you think we'll make the playoffs? I mean, Dane Kelly, good player, but I mean, we only play him twice a year. I mean, he can't keep us out of the playoffs.
Dane Kelly is the USL top scorer because he's been in the league the longest. He only averaged 9 goals a year.
But he's a good player. But he's not.
He's not Harry Kane.
I mean, we do have Drogba in the league. I mean, that's a little more intimidating than Dane Kelly to me. But
I think George Herrera's record for goals for games is better than Dane Kelly's. I think George Herrera at Charlotte is a better player, personally.
But regardless of that, we're in the West. We've seen a few of the preseason games. Are we going to make playoffs in the West?
Yeah. Couldn't tell you what position, but I'd take 7th. Honest to God, I would. I mean, but I think. If the stars align and everything goes well and we play like I think we can, I think we could finish in the top 3 or 4.
Shut up.
But that's the thing. You know, objectively, I think this is a playoff team. I honestly do. I am hopeful. I don't want to say I'm expecting, but I would like to see them be in that top 5. I think it's possible. I think, you know, you do have a few teams that are really good, and, you know, Swope and the Butterflies and
San Antonio good.
Phoenix is good.
But I think based on what's being put together, based on the opportunity these guys have to make something of it, I think we can. But
I'll say we better make the playoffs.
Well, there's no question.
If we don't, I think, you know, you really got to start partnering at the front office then.
I agree.
I mean, as much as we love those guys.
Four seasons.
If we don't make the playoffs again, I think.
But it won't be for the lack of trying.
No, it won't be for the lack of trying, but sometimes you need to make a change just to make a change.
Yeah. But I do. But I think this is a team that's built for that. I think you have guys that have been in the. You've got Sean Reynolds and Kadeem and Herzog who know what it takes to get there.
I said on Twitter, it feels different this year, and somebody pointed out it felt different last year too. Absolutely, you're 100% right.
But this feels different than
last year.
I keep using the term mercenaries for last year because that's kind of how it felt. They were professional. They knew they had a job to do, but I didn't feel that their heart was into the team the way this feel. Like, these guys want to battle for each other. Like, you're picking up on that real quickly, that, you know, when something happens, you see a player grab the other guy by the jersey and talk to him, and you see that interaction between the team already on the field developing.
It's hard. It's hard to question
their heart
integrity last year. I think they cared. I think, you know, they really tried, but for whatever reason,
it just
didn't work. This year, it feels different. It feels better. It feels like there's a long-term plan and there's some thought going into it versus we've got Preki, so we'll win. Preki never spent any time talking about, you know, what he's building and what he was working towards. He was just like, yeah, it's looking good. We're going to win. And we wanted to believe that. There's some more depth there this year, it seems like.
That's you just said it a precise way that sums it up. We wanted to believe in Preki, but this year I feel like we do believe in Ant. I think there is a difference between the two.
Now, that said, anything can happen.
Yeah, and really, it's got to happen. I mean, but they know it. They know what they need to do.
Yeah. All right. This next question I've actually done research on, and I have an actual answer, but I will ask you guys.
Shit.
Edward Cullen wanted to know, he said, I didn't understand this part. He said, USL isn't a FIFA-sanctioned league, which USL is a FIFA. They're under USSF, and USSF is sanctioned by FIFA.
And we're sanctioned by USSF.
Right, so we are a sanctioned league. So disregard that. But he said, if a USL team wins the Open Cup, would they get a seed in the CONCACAF Champions League? Because traditionally, the Open Cup winner gets one of the four.
Absolutely, they would, yeah.
And he said, nope.
I disagree.
I think they do.
I think there'd be riots in the streets.
I contacted the U.S. Open Cup, and they said, yes, they do.
Okay, good.
So,
but the thing is that it's always been an MLS team for so long that we really don't know.
One of the... And it's the same. It would be the same with the Canadian Championship. If Edmonton, well, not Edmonton because they're not there anymore. Ottawa. If Ottawa won the Canadian Championship,
the Voyageurs Cup, yeah,
they would be Canada's entry into the CONCACAF Champions League.
Which it, I mean, that's the way it should be,
right?
I mean,
so our Open Cup gets one, the Supporters Shield gets one, the MLS Cup gets one, and I forget what the fourth one is. Who knows? Biggest. Sponsorship check. Most TAM goes to the CONCACAF Champions League. But if St. Louis FC or any USL team were to win the US Open Cup, they would represent the United States in the CONCACAF Champions League.
I think that's a hard path to get to, but
well, yeah.
It's possible.
Yes, it hasn't happened since 99.
Yeah.
So, Oinkity wants to know the dumbest thing you've ever done sober.
Shit. Oh my God, I gotta think about this.
I drove to Harrisburg.
That's right up there.
I drove to Harrisburg last year.
Mine was putting 100 St. Luligan t-shirts on my credit card and expecting to get my money back.
So is it as a soccer fan or just as the dumbest thing in
whatever, yeah. Answered that email when I sent to you the first time asking, you know, about Subidio.
Yeah, no. No, God, I gotta come back to you on that one. That one's tough. That's a really tough one.
Okay.
Because most of my really dumb ones either were made sober and ended up being drunk, or were the results of being drunk, or under the influence of something, or someone. So.
All right. Well, you think about it.
Yeah.
Stuart wants to know the ideal.
You know what? I take it back.
Okay.
I know what it is.
What is it?
It was. Not it was the job I had before I worked at AB. That was
just working there in general.
It was a friend of a friend's company, and they said, you know, hey, you can come do this, and you'll make this money. And it was just putting shit bags into temp jobs, and it was awful. And I stayed there too long because I didn't think I could do anything, and it was miserable. And I worked around bums, and yes, it was terrible, but. As a result, if it wasn't for those results, I wouldn't be here today because I wouldn't have started working at Anheuser-Busch. Casey and I wouldn't have been talking about Subudio during work. I wouldn't have met you. So the dumbest things end up with great results.
I don't know. I don't think I'm ever getting my money back from those shirts.
No, you're not. Dude, they're long gone. You have about as much chance of getting your money back from those as Liz does from the Cleats Army shirts.
Yeah, good point. I think she spent more than I did. So
I do too.
Because she got scarves too. But when it came time for the scarves, I realized we got to do a pre-order. Let's get some money in hand
that,
first.
That being said, my kids still wear the Cleats Army shirts.
Well, sure. Stuart wants to know, what's your ideal U.S. Open Cup matchup? And can we make a run this year?
My ideal my ideal matchup right now would be FC Denver, because I know we can hammer them.
Well, I want them because of our relationship with them. I think that would be neat.
And you know we can hammer them.
And we can hammer them.
I really enjoyed having Chicago Fire here last year. It would be tough to beat us going to Sporting KC.
My ideal matchup is Louisville. Since we don't get them in the regular season.
That's a good one.
If there's some confluence of events where we could play U.S. or Louisville in the Open Cup for a meaningful game.
Any of those four teams I'd take, actually. The Indy, the Nashville.
I was going to say Indy. That was going to be mine for that reason.
Cincy. Beat them.
I don't want to
beat them there.
I wouldn't mind playing Detroit City either.
Detroit City would be nice. There's also a weird part of me that would love to play Minnesota United. Because of them having been around and the history there, and I think that'd be a fun one to play. That's hard. Who I'd like to play? Christos FC. I'd like to see them go on another run and have us be the people that end it, because that would get us some attention.
Well, by the time we get drawn against Christos FC, if they make it, it's gonna be like the fifth.
I was gonna say that's probably the final because they're in the East, but.
Seattle and beat Preki in the Open Cup. Oh,
God.
Shit, I didn't even think about that.
That'd be fun.
Oh, man.
Oh, not only that, but to go to Seattle and beat them in Seattle.
I'm getting a chub on just thinking about that.
But see, that's the thing. There's a lot of those kind of things that I'd like to beat any MLS team.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, really.
Home or away. Don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. And if it is a... And that's the thing is that, being it semi-regional, if we're in Chicago, if we're in Minnesota, if we're in Kansas City... Houston Dynamo, any of those, I want to go.
Yeah. But I mean, in the early rounds, there's some great matchups, and then there's some matchups you go. Ugh.
We had fun with Wichita last year. They're announcer.
Des Moines Menace is not a marquee matchup, but they're always good.
They can
beat you.
Yeah.
Yep.
So there's nothing sexy about that.
Yeah.
No.
But that's a banana skin. That's the only thing about that. That's a banana skin.
I would like to be someone's banana skin.
Yeah,
but I love the Open Cup.
Everything about it.
There's so much awesome about it.
Agreed. Matthew Brengard wants to know: are there any players who could break the team's single season record for goals or assists? 14 for Irvin in the goals department, and 4 is the assist record. So, I think we should break the assist record.
I think you called it with Austin and maybe Joey.
Yeah, one of those two, but I can see somebody like Sean Reynolds getting a whole bunch of them too.
I can see that there'll be some main goal scorer, and then there'll be the other four just feeding them the ball.
That's the thing.
I got Wallfall in the assist. That's
a good one too.
That's my prediction.
Kyle Gregg. The only reason Danny Koenig was good a couple of years ago for Oklahoma City Energy is because Kyle.
Oh yeah.
And that's the thing too, is that whoever that strike partner ends up being is going to pick up. That's the weird thing and the good thing and the awesome thing about it is that if you do have Kyle Gregg and Corey Herzog up front, Corey may not get 18 goals because they both might have 10.
But if my choice is you can have one guy that scores 15 or three guys that score 20 altogether, I'll take the three guys.
Oh, without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
So
all day long.
I don't necessarily need a leading goal scorer. I need more goals in general.
Corey's my pick to have the most. There's no question.
I'll say Christian just because I said it earlier.
You know what? I'd like to see Gomez be the assist leader.
Long ball.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he can deliver it. So that'd be nice. Just have it start the breakout.
Tim, we're looking forward to more. This is Tim Reeder. We're looking forward to more goals and more wins on the field this year, but what are you most looking forward to off the field this year?
For me, I'm bringing Ewan to more games. I would like to see him have a relationship with a player similar to like Rich and yeah. Drake and to Registers and Urban. I would like Ewan to latch onto a player and become his guy.
Yeah.
The challenge is out there, players.
he's pretty lovable.
Suck
he's
up to
good,
Ewan.
He's a good kid.
He has Pringles. You know, honestly, I think right now, I think the enthusiasm in our group for particular is really good right now, and it's a good energy. I think last year the energy got kind of dark with, you know, just the struggling. Kinda. I wasn't going to be too negative. But, I you see more people stepping up and helping out and doing things and you know, more motivation to get involved, and I really like that. It feels like it used to, like that first season. So I'm hoping that continues. Speaking of which, I would like to mention Stewie reached out to me today. They sounds like they have a place now to do the painting. So the painting will be kicking off pretty soon. So be looking at our Twitter and Facebook and webpage. If you want to do that, don't forget you can always email them at tifos@stluligans.com if you want to join in or reach out to Stewie if you know him on social media. But, you know, those are those kind of things that, you know, seeing what we can do like that with more people committing and more people helping out and doing what they can, I think the energy is really good, and I think we can maintain it if the team doesn't suck.
For me personally, it's the charity du jour stuff. $20,000 last year. We've already got a commitment from Tom and Jim. They're going to match.
We're already at $11,000.
Yeah, we're basically at $11,000 already. So doing more than we did last year, and tied in with that is if we get some more wins and the crowd's happy and we're getting more people coming to games and getting more people to come into tailgate parties, I think we could do some, you know, more amazing work with Charity du jour.
Speaking of which, the first home game is coming up.
First home game's coming up.
In 2 weeks. Well, 2.5 weeks, but yeah.
Go ahead.
Another thing I'm looking forward to. I would like St. Louis Athletico, St. Louis Maritza, and the St. Louis Lions to do really well this year, because I would like them in the Open Cup.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I think I look at what FC Denver and Harpo's and Azteca have out in Colorado.
Yeah.
They always manage to have these derbies, and they get to play the Rapids or the Switchbacks. And I think we should have that here.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Honestly, that's what I'd like to see also.
And I tagging on to that idea, I want to see Fire and Ice.
Yeah.
I want to see them repeat. I want to see that happen again, because she's built such a great program. And to have back-to-back championships, I think that's fairly unheard of in lower divisions. I want to see that happen again.
This one comes from a fan who prefers to stay in the background, but I think most of you guys know Pat Barry. He wants to know, is it March 31st yet?
It's Friday. It's all about Friday, Pat.
Yeah.
Coming Friday.
Don't count your chickens here, Pat.
Let's not wish the season away.
Yeah. Don't look past up the near future here.
That's right. Steve Smith wants to know, given the lessons of the MLS to St. Louis campaign, have you noticed any different marketing strategies the club has used to get more exposure, and what can they do to gain more traction with city residents?
It
really comes down to that for me. I mean, they've tried different things. They've tried the billboards. I've been noticing it when I click on websites, the little banners in the sides are St. Louis FC. So they're doing some targeted marketing, you know, based on how that works, because Facebook knows everything and they whisper into advertisers' ears. And
there was a couple of commercials on during the games this weekend that I saw on the TV. I mean, but really, word of mouth, winning, it is the way to go.
By far and away. And I think that's the way lower division teams have been successful.
Word of mouth.
Throwing money at it like Cincy doesn't last.
Yeah, because if you say, hey, have you heard about the St. Louis FC? And the first question is, well, are they any good?
Yeah.
You know, if you say, well, you know, we haven't made the playoffs in 3 years versus, oh, no, we're, you know.
We're in first.
Yeah, we're in first. It's a different reaction. So
I agree.
Winning will help everything. Gottman wanted to know the starting 11. We already kind of went through that. And he also says he hears Gomez is, you know, better on his way back sooner.
So that's good. That's what we want to hear.
I haven't heard that, but
I think it was on his Instagram. There was a little story where he's wearing the gloves again today.
Well, there you go.
I mean, I know. I can't imagine he's training full pelt,
but
he's not sitting at home resting his
leg. He's getting reps in.
You know.
Mark Gardner Jr., which is better, the King's Cup or the Athletic Supporters Cup? The latter should be the new King's Cup, and where is it? I do, if you haven't seen...
I did not steal a golden jockstrap.
But I will say that trophy is better than the actual King's Cup.
Absolutely.
And I move that it become the new King's Cup.
I can't argue. It was much better.
So, Coopers, if there's any of you listening, if we could ever find it...
Or that being said, maybe we could
hammer them together?
Yeah. Something like that. Build upon it and make a, you know... Maybe, you know, for the Central Division, put a cast aside all the previous, and you know it'll be Central. Let's make it a decent like get. We need to get like a
jock you can wear.
Oh,
like a championship jock strap.
WWE jock strap.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Mark. I think the Athletic Supporters Cup was a great trophy, and wherever it is, I hope it's safe.
I heard it's in another plane of existence.
Yes, I did see photo evidence that might suggest. It went home in a different vehicle than it came up in, but that's all I know.
That's not saying much.
No, since the guy who brought it up doesn't know where the hell it is, that's a pretty good chance. But if we...
It may be surrounded by Yingling right now.
If we apprehend the culprit, we will let you know.
We're not going to do anything. We're like Russia. We're not going to extradite
him. I was going to say we're like Battleborn Brigade. We know who did it, but we're not going to tell you.
It's not like you threw a bottle.
That's right. Wes Brammer wants to know, have there been talks about continuing the post-win chant from last year? And if so, who do you think will lead it?
I would like to very much keep it. I enjoyed it immensely.
There has been that conversation, I know. I think we need to get with the players and make sure they know how it happens.
Yeah, before the home opener, we will reach out. And whoever is the captain will probably be the leader of that chant, I think.
Maybe we start that like next week. Or, you know, just kind of start putting it in their head that that's what we need to do. You know, start maybe a Twitter effort.
Either that or a guy like Tony Walls, who was here last year. Or
Christian or, yeah.
Yeah. Mike Baldridge wanted to know prediction on how many goals and how many assists. Captains. Do we have any predictions on who's going to be captain?
I'm happy with Barden. I think he's vocal. I think he's big. I think he's imposing. I'm happy with Barden.
I'm thinking it's Barden or Sam. Sam's been, you know, pretty matured compared to what we saw him a couple of years ago. And I think he knows it. But Barden's done well. I know he's worn it a couple of times, and he seems to be a cut from the same cloth.
I do like having a defender as captain.
I do, too.
Because they're looking back.
They see everything, yeah.
And the other thing is, too, is they're less likely to get subbed off earlier. True. So you have a better chance of them being out there the whole time.
True.
Yeah, I got no opinion.
Do you think the players put any stock in who's the captain, or is it just a symbolic thing?
I think some do. Uh-huh. I think the guys who want to be captain, you know, that it means something to put stock in it. I think your pros, they don't really care as long as the messages are being delivered out there. And
I mean, you have natural leaders anyway.
Right. Yeah. And I think what you see with it more than anything, it's probably the guy that's, you know, the coach is tapped to be the spiritual leader that day.
Yeah. But like you said, there's vocal leaders out there, whether they're wearing the armband or not. Uh-huh. You know, if
Sean's not wearing it and he yells at me, it's still important.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the keepers are always yelling at people back there. The guys respond to the different leaderships that are out there. To me, the actual captain is maybe somebody who you trust to go talk to the ref.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean.
That's a big part of it. Too, now that you mention it,
you know, we like fiery, impassioned guys, but sometimes that's not the best guy to go up and talk
to
the ref.
I love Tony Walls. I don't want him yelling at a ref.
Well,
I mean, just as a
great example. Guy like Musa a few years ago.
Yeah,
he could see a bit of the red mist.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
You don't want that guy talking to the ref, but he may be out there yelling on the field and a captain.
Agreed.
On the field. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know much of the new guys. A guy like Sam Fink is, you know.
One negative Everybody thing about Sam. This upcoming season in captains, they won't be able to wear the custom armband.
Yeah.
The Luligan armband will not be worn during games because there's...
I don't think we're allowed to talk about that just yet.
Oh, well.
We can say they won't wear a Luligan armband.
The league has said they can't wear custom armbands. Yeah. So
it was nice while it lasted.
It was, but there's always the Open Cup.
Yeah, we've got some home games in the Open Cup.
Cake with a J wanted to know, can we get the This Is Silly Pod scarves at the watch parties? I don't know. We might bring some.
I mean, really,
Hey, yeah.
Well, probably.
Yeah.
We'll just load the mini up and.
Yeah, we'll bring them. There you go.
Brad has changed. Brad has decided
It's all about how much I have to carry in. That's really what it comes down to.
Well, we'll just tell somebody when we pull up, say, come out and give us a hand.
Just honk.
Save us. We need a Prime's parking spot. That's right. That's what we need to convince them to save one of those spots across the street where That's I can right. just pull up and
put some cones out for us.
Yes. VIP parking.
All right. We got a couple of announcements of events coming up. Watch parties. They start this Friday.
Cannot wait.
Kirkwood Station Brewing. Not sure if we'll have the big room or the regular room because it's a Friday night and I don't know if they have a band. But we will have some food and drink, and game starts at 7:30. I'm probably going to get there a little early so I can order some dinner.
Yep, yep.
And like Mitch said, we will have the scarves, so you can come early and pick up your scarf.
One thing we will be doing this year that we haven't done before is on the website we will have a game day post where we'll have everything of importance that's going to be there. So, you know, watch party at
where and Kirkwood when,
Station, yeah. what time the game is on Channel 11. Bird has graciously agreed to write a blurb about our opposition. If there's any information.
As the season's so early, there's not going to be much because we don't know much about RGV. But
I didn't know much about them anyway, to be honest.
There you go. Yeah, but towards the end of the season, when the games start to matter a little more, we may have a little more information on that kind of stuff.
And then when it's a home game, we'll have, you know, a picture of the tailgate so people know where to go, what the food's going to be, what the charity du jour is going to be. So you'll have all that information so you're ready to go on game day. So maybe it gives you something to look forward to on Thursday where you can say, hey, it's almost go time. So keep an eye open for that. We'll be tweeting it and social mediaing it out.
Well, this week gives us another opportunity to repost the best goal from St. Louis FC history, the goal from Herrera, which was against
RGV.
Yeah, there you go. Valley.
It's the best goal I've ever seen live, honestly.
It was a stunner.
I'll make sure I link that in the game day post for you.
It was the best goal I've ever seen live, and I've been to a lot of soccer games. And
it was
a stunner.
I remember standing up there with you guys and going, did that just happen?
Yeah.
Because it was just, wow.
It was one of the most slack-jawed moments I've ever had.
So just the Cliff's Notes on watch parties, we're always at Kirkwood Station. So just if you've got your little calendar app, just know that we'll be at Kirkwood Station on those away days.
And the Lulugan calendar is always kept up to date. It's got things like the watch parties. It also has our event at Second Shift on there now, too.
That's what I was going to mention next.
That was my segue for you.
3/28. It is the Wednesday before the home opener. Second Shift Brewing reached out, and they said, hey, let's do something together. It's been a while. We've got some new Brewligans t-shirts that you can buy.
Look nice.
They're giving us $5 off of those that day only. They're going to have Wednesdays are usually their Keep the Glass Night. So they did a special for us. They're making a Brewligans plastic mug that is tailgate friendly.
There you go.
She said, I don't want to give you glass because you guys will drop them and break them. So I'll give you plastic.
That's true.
It has the Brewligans logo and the Second Shift logo on it. So
if you
buy that cup, you can get refills at a discount for the rest of the night. And we're just going to get together. I said something today on Facebook. There's no meetings. There's no speeches. There's no announcements to be made. We're just going to get together, have a few beers. We've invited the staff from St. Louis FC to come out, and they're not selling anything. We're just going to have a few beers and get ready for the season.
It's that pre-party. It's
pre-party.
Yeah.
Don't know if the players will be there. Aunt may have them on a curfew or something. But some of the wives may come because they've been hanging out with the Lulugan ladies. And I just think it'd be good to have one more night of fun and pick up another green t-shirt.
It's kind of like freshman orientation.
Kind of, but with lots of beer.
All right.
That's what freshman orientation in college was.
Before we call it a day, what's our predictions for the Friday?
3-1 us.
I was going to say 2-1.
I'll go 2-0 for us.
There you go. I don't think RGB has made any big moves in the offseason. It's hard to tell this early on. They weren't very good last year. Then again, neither were we. But we've made a lot of changes.
And they've struggled putting together a team. When I was on that podcast a month and a half ago, they didn't know who was playing for them still.
Yeah, again, they've got Houston kind of taking care of their soccer duties, so it's a hybrid team. Things are a little different.
It's awkward.
But they are for all intents and purposes, an MLS 2 team.
Yeah. Kind of, sort of. Yeah, yeah.
And they usually start off in the toilet and get better.
Yeah.
So I think if we're going to play a hybrid stroke MLS 2 team, now's the time to play him.
Agreed.
Yep. The home opener is March 31st. There's still tickets available, so you know what to do. If you haven't bought tickets already, you should. And if you have bought tickets, invite a couple friends. We're going to have fun. Charity du jour starts in earnest on that day, and even though we're supposed to get these all planned out, we haven't got everything lined out yet, but we know the charity du jour that day is going to be the Colon Cancer Alliance. March is their big awareness month. They have a Wear Blue campaign, so if you feel so inclined, wear the new blue St. Louis Hooligans jersey or a blue St. Louis FC jersey or a blue t-shirt. And a friend of ours, very dear friend of ours, passed away from colon cancer. So we always like to do that charity every year. So we're going to start off the year with that one.
That's a big one. And then the home opener should be a generous one.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good crowd. Everybody's happy in a good mood. And
it'll be a nice way for Colon Alliance to close out their run with a nice little chunk from us.
Especially coming home with 6 points from our first two away.
And as I like to say, let's kick colon cancer in the ass. That's all I've got.
It's almost here, guys. It's almost here.
I can't wait for Friday. I took off Friday, so I'll have the whole day to do stuff and get ready.
Spring break at the college, so.
Is it?
There we go.
Yeah, I'm sorting out my afternoon.
Bringing you into Kirkwood Station?
Probably.
Yeah.
It's a 7 o'clock.
He's my new favorite fan.
Willinho isn't?
No, my new favorite fan.
Oh, okay.
I've got to say, Ewan had a blast on Saturday. He had a blast. He got on Sunday. He sat down and drew a picture of the game and drew a picture of me and him in the crowd. I was like, "That's why we do it."
He didn't draw a picture of Brad farting in the van. No.
I loved the ride up. I don't remember so much of the ride back, but on the way up, he went from Mitch said something was stupid, and he said, "You can't say that. That's a bad word." To 10 minutes later. Yeah, it's stupid, huh, Mitch? He was with the lads. He was having a day.
Fart nugget is a funny word.
Fart nugget, and he understood we can say things on this trip that we can't say in front of Mom. Nothing too bad. Mitch dropped an F-bomb, and he was not having that.
Yeah.
But
he was out with the lads.
He had a great time.
He did. He's fun.
And everybody, was happy to see him there, and I love it when there's a little person walking through the crowd getting high fives from drunk people, and he's just there. He belongs there just as much as anybody else.
Flashing his jersey to anybody that he can talk to. Yeah,
showing off his
jersey. By the way, don't know if you'd know, Manchester United beat Liverpool 2-1 that day.
Yeah, we're not talking about Manchester United today.
He told everybody.
He watched the game that morning, and Manchester United beat
Liverpool 2-1. First thing he told me when I got in the van that morning was about the Manchester. He's into soccer this year.
Hockey and soccer, I've created a monster.
Yes, you have.
So, Willinho, for those that don't know, has been hired full time as the Mrs. Sarah's intern at the merch tent.
He's upgraded himself from gopher to intern.
Intern, and he will be helping us out in the merch tent. I think we'll put him on scarf duty that first home game.
Probably.
He'll be there and he'll be handing out pre-order scarves. So, if you want to get your scarf, you got to be nice to the Willinho. That's all I'll say.
He might lick your eyeball.
Anything else, guys?
No, just bring it. Let's go.
Yeah, it's time.
Friday night.
Do you remember 4 years ago? 4 years ago when we'd waited for 7 months for this day. And now we're in our fourth year season.
Yep.
It seems so long ago. It doesn't seem so long ago, but it was.
It does. It seems like forever that we were waiting for it.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like...
We're going into our fourth season.
And this whole week, even Monday, season starts.
Yeah.
Today, season starts. This afternoon, season starts. It just keeps popping into my head.
Manchester United got knocked out of the Champions League today. I will have today if we get a win on Friday. That's the difference. Yeah. That's the difference.
Well, and I mean, we've said it before on the pod. I used to live and die with the Arsenal wins on Saturday and Sunday. I'm not even bothered anymore. My team is St. Louis FC.
Yeah.
I still watch. I still cheer for them, but
it's different.
I live and die with St. Louis FC's results.
And for me, Newcastle's never on TV, so I can't watch it, so that kind of hurts. But I've watched this season, this off season, I've watched more old YouTube games of St. Louis FC than I have Newcastle games.
Yeah.
It's this is our team. It is what it is. And the season starts again. Let's go.
It's on.
Time.